China is trying to snuff out Taiwan and make it seem to disappear from global view. Our trip does give Taiwan visibility.
Taiwan's president makes a brief visit to the United States. It's Tuesday, August 14th. This is VOA Asia. Hello and welcome. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, China detains a VOA reporter. A half-century love affair with a Ford Mustang. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen is traveling to Paraguay and Belize this week, two of just 18 countries that continue to have diplomatic relations with Taipei. Before leaving Taiwan, she said her intention was to expand its diplomatic space, adding, as long as Taiwan remains firm, no one can obliterate its existence. She stopped in Los Angeles first and will visit Houston on her return. The trip comes amid tensions with mainland China, which considers the island to be part of China, and a trade dispute with the United States, which has sought close ties with Taipei since President Donald Trump entered office. Bill Sharp, a Taiwan scholar and host of the online program Asia in Review, tells VOA's Victor Beatty the mainland has won over more countries to break ties with Taiwan while demanding airlines and other businesses delete all references to Taiwan on their websites.
Chinese pressure is increasing bit by bit on her to accept the 92 consensus, which says that there's only one China and that Taiwan is part of that. But, you know, she's not buying into that. She's never said that she would from the day she was elected. She's always made it very clear that she would not accept that notion of the 92 consensus. China, I think, is getting very frustrated with Taiwan. I see it more and more all the time, and it's ratcheting up every kind of mechanism of pressure that it can think of to get Taiwan to accept the 92 consensus and to ultimately agree to unification.
The number of countries, Bill, now down to just 18 that recognize Taiwan's existence formally, diplomatically. What is the purpose of her trip? Is it more than just visiting two countries? Is there something larger at stake here?
She says it gives the world the visibility. China is trying to snuff out Taiwan and make it seem to disappear from global view. Her trip does give Taiwan visibility. It lets the world know that there is a Taiwan. It also lets the world know that Taiwan is a free and democratic society. It also helps to cement these relations with the remaining 18 allies. And that's crucially important to Taiwan because it gives itself some legitimacy as a sovereign nation.
In recent months, two countries, Panama and the Dominican Republic, have switched their allegiance from Taiwan to mainland China. One analyst in England said this: Beijing is gradually rolling out punitive measures across the entire spectrum of activity and interactions. Going after allies is high profile and rich in symbolism. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. I agree with that quite strongly, actually.
During her U.S. stops, President Tsai was to meet with Taiwan Americans, visit the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, and speak with American businessmen and talk with the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Republican Ed Royce. These are among some of the top Asia stories you'll currently find on voanews.com. Death toll from earthquake near Indonesian island tops 430. Blaze at Taiwan hospital kills 9, cause being investigated. Korean leaders to hold summit next month in Pyongyang. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more are found on Facebook at VOA Asia. And as always, you can stop by our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Voice of America's Mandarin Service correspondent and a multimedia journalist working for VOA were detained late Monday by Chinese police while attempting to interview a retired Chinese professor who was taken away by authorities during a live television interview with VOA nearly 2 weeks ago. Correspondent Yibing Feng and VOA contractor Alan Ai were taken into custody in Jinan, Shandong Province, after talking to Professor Sun Wen Guang, 84 years old, through a closed door of his apartment. All have since been released. VOA Asia's Ira Melman joins us with more on the story.
Professor Sun says, I've been locked at my dwelling by the state security team leader, Mr. Lee. My wife was threatened to make an announcement that we were traveling. That wasn't true at all. We were not traveling. The police then say, we have our laws and regulations. The BOA reporter says, what laws and regulations? Does Professor Sun have his freedom? Does he have his civil rights? Does he have rights to speak? Does he have rights to speak? Then Professor Sun says, we were taken out of our residence for 10 days and stayed at 4 hotels. Some of the rooms had sealed windows. It was a dark jail. After we were back, he said, they sent 4 security guys to sleep in our home. I want to thank American senators and House representatives for paying attention. I also want to thank VOA. I started to listen to VOA in 1962. During the Cultural Revolution, they said I was against the revolution. Later, I kept listening to VOA, RFA, and BBC. At this point, authorities in the apartment hallway attempt several times to disrupt the interview. The two reporters were then held by police at the building exit. Some security guys started to push and pull Yibing at this point. Yibing said, don't try to use force. Security says, just come downstairs. And he says, can I speak to your supervisor? Security says, we could discuss this downstairs. Well, when they got downstairs, security and police started to use force to drag the BOA reporters into a waiting vehicle, and Yibing yelled, don't touch me. Where is your leader? We will not move an inch if you try to force us to go. Get your hands off me. The VOA reporters said they were taken in separate vehicles to undisclosed locations on the university campus by men who identified themselves as contract security guards. They were freed before dawn on Tuesday, unharmed. Feng wrote in an email to his editor, I was just released from the hands of secret police in Jinan with all of my cell phones destroyed by them. He said they separated Alan from me during these hours. After spending hours in a car with two men, I was driven to the outskirts of Jinan and released early Tuesday. He said that the men scanned and downloaded all of his electronic devices before letting him go. BOA's Director Amanda Bennett joins us now. And what's been your reaction and what is your reaction to the detention of these two BOA employees?
It's outrageous that two journalists are detained by security forces for doing nothing more than their job. It's the job of journalists to find out what's going on, to talk to people in the news, and that is all that they were doing.
Is there any recourse? Where do you lodge protests?
Well, people at the Broadcast Board of Governors, which is our organization, have been reaching out to all the same groups of people that any other journalist would reach out to protest. We've been reaching out to journalistic organizations, both here and in China, to people who are involved in protecting press freedom. We've reached out to the State Department, and we've asked any organization that has any correspondence with China to protest this really appalling event.
What happens to the reaction of an organization like VOA when this type of thing happens? Does a defense go up? Does an attack go up? I mean, how do you react to something like that?
When something like this happens, our first concern, obviously, is the safety of our journalists. So we swing into action to try and make sure that we can determine where the journalists are, whether they've been harmed, and to get them out of detention. We think that the journalists should be released as soon as possible because it's outrageous that they've been detained.
Has there been a change in the way China has treated VOA journalists over the past year or two that you can see?
We've noticed all around the world that the pressure on journalists has been increasing, and this is not the first time we've had some issues with China and our journalists. So, yes, we've seen a great deal more of these events around the world recently.
Amanda Bennett, VOA Director, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Melman, VOA Asia.
Happening now in Asia, 9 people are dead, at least 15 others injured as a result of a fire at a hospital in Taipei, Taiwan. The fire broke out on the 7th floor of the building, which was used for hospice care. Media footage showed patients being wheeled out of the building, some still in their hospital beds. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're always happy to have you with us on VOA Asia. Thank you for listening. Beijing has stationed its first permanent search and rescue ship in a hotly disputed part of the South China Sea. Analysts see it as a public relations move after alarming smaller countries with a military buildup in the same waters. The official Xinhua News Agency said the Ministry of Transport in China sent the vessel, called the South Sea Rescue 115, to the Spratly Islands July 27th. The vessel can reportedly work in storm gales and waves up to 6 meters high, and more such vessels are planned to be built. The ministry's Rescue and Salvage Bureau head, Wang Shenliang, was quoted as saying his agency will consistently improve its standby mechanism in the South China Sea region to better carry out maritime rescue duties and obligations under international treaties. Analysts say China may have sent and publicized this vessel's deployment to look good after angering other states over militarization. As VOA Asia continues, so does the Ford Mustang. The Ford Motor Company last week produced its 10 millionth two-door sporty Mustang at its Flat Rock, Michigan assembly plant with a celebration including a flyover of World War II Mustang fighters. Its unveiling to the public occurred back in 1964 during the New York's World's Fair and was featured in at least three internationally acclaimed movies. It is a nameplate owned in countries around the world. Bob Merlis is a member of the board of the Society of Auto Historians, and he has a website called Feral Cars. He explains to VOA's Victor Beatty the Mustang's durability.
Well, I think the term iconic is overused, but it really is an American icon. And when they screwed up in the 70s and made the Mustang II, which was a Pinto-based car, they knew pretty quickly they had made a mistake. So I guess it's just vox populi, you know, the voice of the people. This is the vehicle they want. They also want a Corvette, but it's not practical because it's just a two-seater. So the Mustang is something a little more utilitarian and a little more accessible.
Is that what causes such popularity?
I think it really struck a chord in the public imagination when it was introduced in 1964 at the World's Fair. I was there. I wasn't there the day they unveiled it, but I was there during the course of the fair and got to ride on the Skyway of Tomorrow, in which all manner of Ford-built vehicles, Lincolns, Mercurys, and Fords, all the convertibles they had were part of it. And it was just a huge competition to get into the Mustang, just to sit in it in what amounts to a little ride. You didn't really drive it, but people just wanted juxtapositions of this car. It just fired the imagination like no other.
Bob, according to one news source, the Mustangs will soon be only one of two passenger cars from Ford, along with a crossover Focus sold in North America. All other offerings will be trucks and sport utility vehicles. It's still hanging in there, but very few other cars are.
Well, that's true. Ford's move to all truck-based vehicles or crossovers, as contemporary SUVs are known, is a head-scratcher. I understand that people prefer to sit high, etc., but they're deluding themselves as to the real need for such a vehicle. It's quite minimal. A real passenger car, a sedan, is what most people need, and if they want the utility to haul stuff, they really need a minivan. But it's people's self-image projects them into SUVs and trucks.
Mustang lasted 54 years. How many more years do you give it?
I think it could make it to 100. I don't know what cars are going to be like in the future, but it's the nameplate is so important, you can't imagine Ford dispatching it.
Ford said since it began exporting Mustangs in 2015, it has become the world's best-selling sports coupe, including in China, which is projected to have a car market twice that of the United States by 2025. You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find our program free of charge each and every day on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as streaming on VOA Asia Facebook and our website, voanews.com. For those of you listening in Myanmar, we thank you for joining us on Facebook through VOA Burmese and everyone who's listened to our program today, no matter where in the world you may be. We also thank our director, Tracy Carter, and of course, our engineer, Zainab Abdel-Rahman, our managing editor, Diane Gao, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, and Doug Bernard on our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day.